Okay, still need our Bible, so let's get our Bibles, and we'll start by opening to Ephesians chapter 6. This was going to be a quick answer to an easy question, but it turns out this is going to end up going today and next week. The question that has been asked by Christians is, how are we supposed to honor our parents if they are living contrary to or are against the Christian life? And it's a fair question, and it grows out of a misreading, usually, of a passage in Ephesians chapter number 6, which is the New Testament rendering of the Old Testament legal command in the law. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1 says, "Children, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Okay, next verse. "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Okay, let me just go ahead and give you a quick, short answer and give you some idea of where we're heading. Then we'll pray and study the scriptures together. I am not a child. A child is commanded to obey. I am an adult. An adult is commanded to honor. And there's a very important distinction between obeying and honoring. And we'll study that out as we proceed here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do ask you to help us to agree with what you have said about honoring not only parents, but so many places you talk about who to honor. Help us, Lord, to see the importance of it and how it benefits us in our own lives as well. Lord, but how it protects the integrity of the Christian church and does so much else. Lord, help us to see all that's there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To honor, you see a whole bunch of definitions. I'm just going to touch some of those. Means to esteem, due, or to paid or paid to worth. High estimation. High estimation. So God says we are to make certain that we recognize that our fathers and our mothers are of great worth to us, and we are to hold them in high estimation, high esteem. Honor. Now, first of all, before I go on, notice he didn't say anything about what kind of parents we have or had. He just makes the statement, honor. Honor your parents. Okay. What else is honor? Honor is a testimony of esteem, an expression of respect or high estimation by words or actions, such as the honors of war, military honors, funeral honors, civil honors. Now you can laugh about, that our pastor, he doesn't do Father's Day, he doesn't do Mother's Day services, I don't do birthday cards, all that stuff. I don't know what day of the year you might choose or what way you choose, but the Lord, by definition, has asked you to give a testimony of your esteem to your father, to your mother, about your father and about your mother. And again, he didn't say if they're godly, ungodly, right, wrong. He just said, I want you to give them honor. Honor means dignity, exalted rank or place. Distinction. And so as a child is to respect his adult parents, it's apparent to me by the definition of the word that God chose, once you become an adult, I am not to forsake that respect and that high esteem that I gave to my parents. A 6-year-old should be respectful to his father and mother. A 60-year-old should be respectful to his father and to his mother. It's not a question of are they worthy or are they deserving of respect. It's a question of you being respectful and honoring God by acting in that way. It honors God. To honor is reverence. It is veneration. Any act by which reverence and submission are expressed as worship to a supreme being and reputation, good name, as his honor is unsullied. And this is a very important one because all of you men carry your father's name. You carry your grandfather's name. And whether they're alive or whether they're dead, your conduct and your actions in a society, in a church, reflect upon your father's name, your father's name, in fact. If your father was dishonorable, if your grandfather was dishonorable, all the more reason to strive and to labor to restore the good honor of that name. And so all of this is entailed in this. So here's what I want to look at with you before we return to these verses at the close of our study. I want you to see who it is in the Bible that we are told to honor. All of us who read the Word of God are given some instructions as to whom we are to bestow honor. And I'm including this because I think this will help us understand honoring our parents from what God is asking, what God is expecting. So let's look in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. And when you get there, we'll read starting at verse number 32. You say, Leviticus, we're not under the law. Nobody's going to be placing you under the law. Don't worry. But I certainly hope that you wouldn't deny that the law is the word of God and that it reveals the heart and the mind of the Lord in many matters not addressed in the New Testament. For example, if you've made it there to Leviticus chapter 19, since we're here and it's on the same page, here's a good example. Look at verse 29. Do not prostitute thy daughter. Well, guess what? That's not in the New Testament. Does anybody think we should throw it out? Or do you think it's probably a pretty good directive to keep from God? I mean, let's rightly divide the word of truth, but let's not be hyper knuckleheads and chop the Bible up into pieces and throw a bunch of it away. Okay? So here we go. Verse 32. Leviticus 19:32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. That's the white hair, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Notice the Lord ties respect for old people in this verse to respect for God. Isn't that interesting? Now, our nations, they're so far from the Bible that it's unraveling. It really bothers them. And people don't know why it's unraveling. It's unraveling because God's word works and nothing else works. Only God's word does the job. So there is an almost boastful attitude these days about dishonoring old people, you know, disregarding them, kicking them at the curb, making fun of them, ridiculing them, telling jokes about them, which of course is the direct opposite of what God said here in the Bible. And this verse here said, when an older man enters the room, the younger man is supposed to get up out of his chair as a sign and a show of respect to that older man. That's what the Bible says. And when an older person is present, the younger people should treat the older person as their superior. Now, and listen, God didn't say if he's sober, if he's wealthy, if he's a successful businessman, if he's a Christian. God just said, this is a way to instill in the citizens of your nation some respect and some order and some decency that will help you in many, many areas. And I would say to every one of you that is younger, the better you can treat the seniors, the better you can treat the elders, the more you can do to help them and be kind to them and respect them, the better off your life will be. God will bless you for it because it's an act of honoring God when you honor those who are older. And praise the Lord for that. Okay, come back to the New Testament and look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, honor is esteem due or paid to worth, high estimation, dignity, exalted rank or place or distinction. Okay, look at this. Romans 12 and verse number 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, in honor, preferring one another. Now, I know we've covered this before, but the point here is not that you give honor to Christians who are better Christians than you are, or that you give honor to people who are more spiritual than you are. The Bible says if somebody is a member of the body of Christ, you are to treat them with honor. They are to be shown respect and dignity and appreciation. Now, here's why it's important that we look at all of these people that we're supposed to honor. Notice the issue here is not whether they are worthy. The statement here is not whether or not they deserve it. If that person is older than you, treat them with honor. If that person is your brother or sister in Christ, treat them with honor. Why? Because it is part of an orderly society, and God's an orderly God, and it's a part of an orderly fellowship of Christians to treat one another in this way. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. And look at verse number 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. And if you read all the way down, what follows in verses 4 through 14 is a detailed statement on which widows the church is to support financially. And that passage says you are not to support all widows financially. It says in part that you're not supposed to support all widows financially because some of them don't deserve it. Some of them have not lived good lives. Some of them have not been decent people. But the preface to the passage is honor widows. So here the Lord is saying you can't take this elderly woman on for support because she doesn't deserve it, but you certainly are to treat her with honor because I expect you to do so. Now, plainly from this passage, we are not bestowing honor upon people because they are honorable. We are bestowing honor upon people because we are honorable. And we are being honorable members of the body of Christ by treating people with honor. Okay? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verse number 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So he says, if you have a believing master, see, he's putting a qualifier on verse number one, some of your masters are not believing. If you have a master who is a really great guy, hey, wonderful. But back to verse one, to state that there are really great guys is to also state that some of them are not so great. Now, why is a man under the employ of another man? Why is he to treat that employer with honor? The Bible says that the word of God be not blasphemed. That blasphemy, that's disrespect. Look what the Lord said. When the employee who is a Christian disrespects the employer, it causes the employer to disrespect Christianity as a whole. Do you see that? So the Christian treats an unworthy man with honor in hopes that that man will see the honor that is to be found in Christianity. So God, he's not asking that you find honorable people and honorable widows and honorable masters and honorable Christians and give them their due. He's asking you to just live a life that honors other people, because it's the perfect expression of humbling, or of humble serving, lowly Christianity. And it carries weight in the eyes of unbelievers. They'll notice. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Well, I don't know any old people. I don't know any widows. I try to stay away from Christians. I don't go to work, so I don't have a master. So I guess I'll be okay. Well, let's see. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. See, basically what the Lord is asking is for you to treat everyone as though they are worthy of your best treatment, worthy of your best manners, worthy of your utmost kindness and respect. If you treat everybody that way, you will be properly representing the Lord. Okay, here's one that will trip you guys up. Come to 1 Peter chapter 3. And with it, so yeah, we need to look at these two passages in very different parts of the Bible, and we need to compare them. That's how you study the Bible. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, with that, I want you to get Esther chapter 1. 1 Peter 3 and Esther chapter 1. Well, ladies, you're going to like this. I'm not sure how vocal you want to be about it, but I think you'll appreciate it. In Esther chapter 1, let's do that one first. Esther chapter 1, but keep your place in 1 Peter. Look at verse 20 and 21. Esther 1:20, and when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes. And the king did according to the word of Memucan. Okay, so Memucan, he says to this heathen king, I want you to pass a law that all women have to honor their husbands. Okay, well, that's what the king said. That's what the king said. Does anybody want to see what God said now? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Now, guys, I know what you want me to, I know you probably want me to back you up here. No, actually what you want me to do is probably to do your job for you and make your wife honor you. And that's what this Mamukin was trying to do for the Cain, because his wife wouldn't honor him. And so this guy said, well, let's pass a law, make it a law that she has to honor you. You can pass all the laws you want to, but it's not happening. If she doesn't want to honor her husband, she's not going to honor her husband. Okay, when the Lord has his say now, he tells the husband to honor the wife. Now wait, you're going to say, well, you don't know my wife. Well, I didn't pick her. You did. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Okay, now look again what we have. The Lord is saying in this passage that the man is the strong one and the woman is the weaker one. And I don't care what you're seeing on the news or on the little TikTok things and all that stuff. God says man is the strong one, the woman is the weaker one, okay? And therefore, I must command the man to honor her, because he would not be inclined to do so if he was careless and observed her weakness and not her strengths. And again, what happens? The man's prayer life is stronger because he has a better relationship with God. Gets a better hearing from God when he prays, because he is honoring his wife. Okay. Well, let's move on to the next one. All right. Look, what I want you to see is in all of these passages, the Lord is not asking you to honor someone that everyone else is honoring, because of course you're going to honor the king. Of course, you're going to honor the millionaire. Of course, you're going to honor the soldier that just delivered you from battle. But how about this old man? How about this widow? How about this wife that's struggling with some situations? How about this Christian over here that's not living up to your standards and your expectations? See, the Lord is telling us to honor people we wouldn't be inclined to honor, because he doesn't want us to give people what they deserve. He wants us to give people what he would like them to have. Now, I'm going to this one, this next one, because it's in the Bible. You wouldn't want me to skip one, would you? And we want a thorough Bible study. This next one is in 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. All right, so here's what I'll say about that. First of all, every minister, just like every old person, every Christian, every widow, every master, every wife, every minister may not be as worthy of honor as you think them to be. But I'm telling you, the damage done to Christianity over 2,000 years by saved people dishonoring their ministers can't be told. The lost people in your town don't respect preachers because the saved people in your town don't respect preachers. And that's a fact. Most lost people, they work with somebody who says they're saved, who says far more about what's wrong with preachers than what's right about Jesus Christ. They'll badmouth preachers all day long, and they'll leave church badmouthing the minister. Now, I'm going to say this, and God knows I'm not saying this to get any honor for myself. I'm saying this because it's so. God says so. If your society needs aged people with their wisdom, and church members and widows with their experience, and employers with the jobs that they have to offer, and men to do the jobs, and wives to hold the family together, God said, you need preachers twice as much as you need any of the rest of them. And so he says, double honor to those who labor in the word of God. Do you know what we're seeing in our churches? We are seeing people saying, well, I have to go to work, but I can stay out of church another 2 months. I have to go make money, but I'm not in a hurry to get back in church. I have to go to the store because, well, I need some snacks. I don't have to go back to church. You know what the Lord said? Whatever person in your society is to be honored, those that minister God's word to others are twice as important as the rest of it. Well, you couldn't sell that in any town in America today, I'll tell you that. You probably couldn't sell that in too many churches in America. Not today. I'm telling you right now, if you're an outstanding aged man, an outstanding Christian, an outstanding widow, an outstanding master, an outstanding man, an outstanding wife, chances are pretty good it's owing to the influence of Bible preachers. Because when you look at all the sorry, good-for-nothing old people in your country, the sorry, good-for-nothing employers in your country, the sorry, good-for-nothing workers in your country, do you know what they all need? They need a good, steady diet of Bible preaching. And so if you're going to give honor to anybody, you ought to give it to those who labor in the Word of God and minister in the Bible. Think about it. Other religions, they know this. Nobody would dare mock and ridicule and criticize an imam. Some guy walks around with an orange robe on or turban on his head. People say, oh, look at that man. He's a holy man. Oh, look at that Buddhist monk. He's so dedicated to his God. Look at the Confucian priest. He's so dedicated to his God. A man walks down the street with a suit and tie on and a Bible in his hand, and everybody calls him a freak and a pervert and a money lover and mocks him and ridicules him. I'm telling you, societies today, they have flipped truth on its head, and they love lies and falsehood, and they can't understand why the whole thing is falling apart. The Lord said you ought to give double honor to those that labor in the word of God. Labor in doctrine. That's what the book said. Okay, let's look at this thing about parents here. Exodus chapter 20 is the commandment. Exodus chapter number 20, let's go there. You know, even unsaved people know that there's a thing called the Ten Commandments and that they're real important. So many times when you witness to people and ask them how they're getting to heaven, a lot of them will say, well, keeping the Ten Commandments. But not one person that's ever told me they're getting to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments could name the Ten Commandments. Well, don't you think if that's your ticket to heaven, you would at least know what they were? Anyway, here's what the Bible says in the famous Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, colon. That means we've got a complete sentence already, but we've got more to say. that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Okay, that's the reference in Ephesians. When he says it's the first commandment with promise, that's what he's talking about. The other nine commandments in God's ten commandments, God just said, do them, just do them. Thou shalt not. It's right. I want you to do it. But this one, God said, I will give you long life if you'll honor your father and honor your mother. Okay? That's what he said. Okay, now look in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 16. This is the restating of the law after the 40 years in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Okay, so there it is again. God is saying, and I didn't want to go down this road, but I'm going to point the road out to you in case one day you want to take the scenic drive. I hear Christians, and a lot of them are sincere, a lot of them are well-meaning. I hear Christians who honestly, truly believe if they don't eat meat or certain meats, they'll live a long time. And they think it's in the Bible. That is not in the Bible. If they don't eat processed foods or chemical foods or drink stuff out of plastic bottles, they won't get cancer and they'll live a long time. It's not in the Bible. If they exercise, if they jog, if they don't jog, if they do sit-ups, if they don't do sit-ups, you know what I'm talking about. You go into a Christian bookstore today and you think you're in a New Age shop, and some of them, a lot of them, in fact. It's just all this, you know, guru and yoga for Christ and herbs for the New Age child of God. It's just all mixed together, just a great big melting pot. You know what the Bible said? You got a better chance of living a long life eating hot dogs and potato chips and drinking Coca-Cola and honoring your parents than you do exercising and eating health food and cursing your dad and mocking your mother. That's what God said. Now, I'm not recommending that you sit on a couch and see how big you can get. I'm not recommending that. But people throw this stuff out there like, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord never equals eat this and live a long time. That's not in the Bible. Thus saith the Lord equals living in this kind of neighborhood, having a water purifier in your sink, boiling the air before you breathe it, all that kind of stuff. Christians get into the most amazing things, weird stuff. And if you're into that, go ahead, help yourself. If you want to have barley greens and bean sprouts and beets for breakfast, go ahead. And then there's this group called the Breatharians. You ever heard of them? Breatharians. They claim that they just live on air. They don't need food. They just, the air is all they need. Believers in breatharianism, they claim to follow a simple lifestyle. Instead of consuming food, they absorb the energy of the universe. They believe that everything you need is in the sunlight and in the air. But they're just a bunch of liars, and guess what? A lot of them have died from starvation. That's because God made us, he made us to require food. But here's what the Lord said. Your best chance of living a long life is to honor your father and honor your mother. Now, it's not guaranteed, but it's the best chance you've got. My exercise regimen, my diet regimen, my plan for longevity, keeping the wrinkles down, all that stuff is is my plan is just to say as many good things as I can about my dad, tell you as often as I can what he did to help me, and treat my mother like the queen of the earth. That's the best way I know how to stay out of the graveyard. And that is of the saith the Lord. That is in the Bible. You say, well, my dad was good for nothing. Okay, we'll get to your dad in just a minute. Matthew 15 is next. Matthew 15. You say, well, that's Old Testament. I'm not under the law. You know what? The people that I've heard say that, the people who say that, I found out that they're not under anything. They're not under grace either. They're just quarreling and contentious, looking for a fight. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, I'm not planning to explain all of that today. That'd take a long time. But here's what I'm just going to say about this. In the New Testament, Jesus said, any attempt that you make to get around the commandment to honor your father and mother shows that you have a rotten heart. So you say, well, that's back there under the law. Well, guess what? Jesus drug it right over into the New Testament. And he says, why are you trying to figure out ways to get around honoring your father and your mother when God commanded you to do it? There you go. All right, Luke chapter 18. A lot of scripture today. Luke chapter 18. And then we'll do a little illustration here. Luke 18, 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Okay. So let's suppose today we had five people, and we had the first one stands up, and that person stands up and says, well, I do not commit adultery. I do not kill. I do not bear false witness. I honor my father and my mother, but I steal. Well, everybody here would say, well, that guy's a thief. Better watch out for that guy. The next person stands up and says, I don't kill, I don't steal, I don't bear false witness, I honor my father and mother, but I do commit adultery. Well, I would hope, we are still a Christian church, I would hope we'd say, that guy's got a serious problem, man. That's adultery. That's terrible. And so the next guy, he names them all except for killing. You know, I keep the other four, But, you know, I just kill people every now and then, but, you know, no big deal. You say, well, stay away from that guy. Listen, you know this is true. If somebody said, I don't kill, I don't commit adultery, I don't steal, I don't bear false witness. But I tell you, my dad, I just hate my dad. He's such a jerk. Do you know that the vast majority of people would be okay with that? You know what Jesus did? He included dishonoring your mother with killing people. He included disrespecting your father with committing adultery. See, this is what blows people's minds about hearing the Bible really taught, because people just go by what they think is in the Bible, and that leaves them free to decide what's good and what's bad and what's right and what's wrong. If you open up that Bible, God, he's got a real different estimation of things and a different way of looking at things than we do. And God looked at that young man, and he looked him in the face and he says, you want to go to heaven? Don't kill people. Don't steal from people. Don't take a man's wife and commit adultery with her. Don't lie about people, and stop talking bad about your parents. Well, who would put that in the same list? Jesus. How about that? Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 again. Ephesians chapter 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. We need both of these together. Ephesians chapter 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. Ephesians first, we'll do Ephesians first. Chapter 6, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, now keep your place. This is where we need to go over to 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 3. 1 Timothy 3:3. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Okay. So does everybody see that? How does the Bible define children? People living in their father's house. How does the Bible define an adult? Someone who has left mommy and daddy's house and established their own house. A child is to obey their parents. Do you see that? You say, well, I don't like my parents' rules. Then go get your own house. Go start your own family. Well, I can't afford that. Then you better keep quiet and just do what you're told. Because it costs your parents a lot of money to put up with your bad manners. All right, back to Ephesians 6 now. Honor, this is verse number 2. Ephesians 6, verse 2. Honor thy father and mother. See that? Which is the first commandment with promise. So let's stop there and let's get two illustrations. Here's a young lady, and she's living at home. She gets picked up on the Christian bus route, and she trusts Jesus as her Savior. And she falls in love with the Lord. She goes home at night. She reads her Bible in her little bedroom while her mother is in her bedroom committing unspeakable acts. Her mother is a total disaster. And this little girl, the only thing she's got to anchor her life is her faith in Jesus Christ and that church bus coming by and taking her down there where those decent people love her and treat her so well. You know what that little girl is supposed to do? When her mother says, get up, it's time for school, she's supposed to get up and go to school. When she comes home and her mother is passed out on the couch and her mother wakes up and says, get in there and clean those dishes, she's supposed to clean those dishes. Do you know why? She's living in her mother's house. She's supposed to obey her parents. Now, one day she meets this wonderful young man in that church that she's been going to, and they get married, and she moves out of her mother's little apartment, and they move into another little apartment. And well, he would carry her over the threshold, but that place hasn't had a threshold in about 3 years. It wore out. So he carries her into the living room, and you know what she's supposed to do now? She no longer has to get up when her mother tells her to get up, or wash dishes when her mother tells her to wash dishes. You know what she's supposed to do? She's supposed to bow her head every morning before she eats breakfast and say, God, bless my mother. God, help my mother to find Jesus. God, help me to have a love in my heart for my mother. An adult is not required by the word of God to obey their parents. They are commanded to honor their parents. Now, I know why the question is asked. It's a very common question. You know, I'm saved. My parents are not saved. They don't want me going to a church like this. Well, too bad. I'm saved. My parents aren't saved. They don't want me giving out tracts and being a religious fanatic. They say it embarrasses them. Well, too bad. Your drunkenness embarrassed me all my life. Your cussing embarrassed me all my life. Your rejecting God embarrassed me all my life. I'm sorry if me serving Jesus embarrasses you. I have no intention whatsoever of dishonoring you, and I certainly had no intention of obeying you. No, I'm going to do what the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, has told me to do. And I'll never say a bad word about you. I'll never do one thing to harm you or your reputation in town. Your buddies down at the bar, they might make fun of you because of me, but that's just the way it's going to have to be. Okay? Some people in our church, they're up around 19, 20, and you're like, well, I don't know. You know, I'm tired of mom and dad telling me what to do. All right, better save your dinars, make some friends, get you an apartment. If you don't like doing dishes, okay, just eat it right out of the box, man. That'll work. Microwave it, eat it. You can't microwave stuff in plastic. You'll get cancer. And you're bad-mouthing your parents? People are worried about microwave food, man, and chemtrails and 5G towers, and they're dishonoring their father and their mother. That's what's going to kill you. That's right. Not the microwave, the bad mouthing. Take a look. Verse number 3. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, do you see that? It's not a guarantee, but it's the best maybe that you've got. It's the best maybe you've got. I believe God heals. I don't believe in healers. I believe God heals. If these guys, if they had any power at all to heal, they would have been all over the TV during those COVID months, getting a lot of honor and glory to Jesus Christ. They would have healed people before the government had a chance to kill them. But they can't heal anybody. But I'm going to tell you something. I think this is something I never mentioned to anybody. Shortly after I got to Kuwait, I was diagnosed with a disease for which the doctor told me there was no cure, and he said I'd be on medication for the rest of my life. Well, the side effects of the medication sounded worse than the disease, so I just decided not to take them. It's my way. Well, guess what happened? not only did God heal me, but I haven't had so much as a hint of that disease for the last 25 years. Nobody laid hands on me. I didn't go to a healer. Yes, faithful people prayed, and I believe that God healed me. And I believe God healed me in accordance with this promise, because I have tried to honor my father and honor my mother. Now, that doesn't mean that I've approved of or appreciated all the things that my parents did. And I'm not telling you that my parents did everything right, but I'm not going to stand up and talk bad about them. I'm going to stand up and talk as good about them as I can, because I want to live. And I like life. I enjoy life. I want to see good days. Do you want to see good days? If your dad was a bum, pretend that he wasn't. If your mom was a disaster, pretend that she wasn't. Just talk about them with honor and respect. Do you think every aged man and aged woman in town deserves to have you rise up in front of them? Well, God said, do it. Do you think every employer is deserving of your respect? God said, respect them. God is going to bless you for taking the high ground. That's the promise. Now, let me show you this. This is a Bible principle. It's all the way through the Bible. Come to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. And verse number 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Okay? Just wanted you to see that first. So every member of the body of Christ was put there by Jesus Christ. Now move down to verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. How about that? Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Okay, here's an illustration for you. When a person gets cancer in a certain part of their body, the doctors that are treating that person are going to spend all their time and attention treating that one part of the body. They don't spend any time checking the parts of the body that are not affected by the cancer. They are going to bestow all of their efforts upon the part of the body that isn't working right. They are giving abundant honor to the least honorable part of that person's body. And you know why people do that? They want to live. They're not going to say, forget it. You know, as long as that old ticker's okay, as long as my lungs are still good, I'm not going to worry about that cancer thing. No, you want to see good days? You're going to go after what's weak, after what's broken. Well, here's what I want you to see. He's talking in 1 Corinthians 12 about every member being a part of the body of Christ. And he said some members of the body of Christ are dishonorable. They are less honorable than other members of the body. This is the same God that told you in the context of spiritual gifts in Romans 10 to honor all believers. So what has God said? He told you to honor dishonorable people, to honor those who are less honorable. You know what that means? You can sit there and wish that you had a dad like someone else had, wish you had a mother like someone else had, but you didn't. There's nothing you can do about it. Give them the honor they don't deserve. If they are a cancer in your emotions, okay, radiate it, treat it, get it out. If you're bitter, if you're depressed, if you can't forgive them, if you're envious or jealous, deal with it. And the best way to deal with bad parents raising you badly is to begin to honor them. Try it. There's a family court judge who presided over a courtroom full of people who were there for domestic violence and drug abuse, really bad stuff. And he said to the courtroom, he said, I'm going to ask every one of you what kind of relationship you had with your mother. Because most of you, your problem is you won't forgive your mom. That's a judge who sat in court every single day and dealt with people who were losing at life. And he said, you're a loser who's losing at life because you can't get over mom. You know what the Lord said? I mean, this is before there was any shrinks, any psychiatrists, any psychologists. God said in the Bible, do you want to see good days? Honor your mother. Do you want to see good days? Honor your father. Stop killing yourself over what your dead daddy did. It's right there in the book. Okay, go to Genesis chapter 34 and verse number 19. I know some of you are probably getting tired. I am too. We're almost there. Genesis 34, verse number 19. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. Okay, so I just want you to see, there are some people who are more deserving of honor, worthy of honor, than others. Okay, 2 Samuel 23. Second Samuel chapter 23, verse number 18. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, that was chief among three, and he lifted up his spear against 300. And slew them, and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit he attained not unto the first three. Okay, so he's honorable. He's more honorable than some of those guys, but then there are other guys more honorable than him. Verse 22. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. Okay. First Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4. Verse number 9. First Chronicles 4:9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. So here's what I want you to see. In a family, one of the sons is more honorable than the other sons. In a group of soldiers, some soldiers are more honorable than other soldiers. In a tribe in Israel, one man was more honorable than other men. God didn't lay this great burden and responsibility on us of determining who deserves honor. He just says to us, honor them all. Just honor them all, and your days will be better for honoring everybody. How about that? Luke chapter 14 is next. Luke chapter 14. And verse number 11. No, excuse me, verse number 8. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Okay, so here's a gathering of people. There are some people there that are more honorable than others. Does everybody see what I'm trying to show you? I just want you to see it's all through the Bible. It doesn't change. You say, well, I'm a better person than my mother, but that's not the issue. I'm a better person than my father. It's not the issue. God asked us to show that we are better by bestowing honor upon them. Okay, last stop. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter number 1. If you're not convinced, I hope you are. If you're not convinced, consider God. And Lord willing, next time we're going to talk about honoring God according to the Bible. And consider the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord willing, we'll spend some time considering some verses about giving honor to God the Son. Does it seem perfectly reasonable to you that God the Father and God the Son should be given honor among men? Absolutely. To pay worth, high estimation. I think man ought to give God high estimation. Testimony of esteem, expression of respect. Don't you think we ought to testify and show our respect to God? Dignity, exalted rank, and so forth. I mean, every definition of honor for man to give God honor makes perfect sense. But look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. Yeah, if this wasn't in the Bible, you wouldn't dare say it. When Jesus Christ comes again, he is going to bestow honor upon Christians who suffered righteously for his namesake. Well, is there anybody here that thinks a sinful man, a sinful woman deserves to be honored by Jesus Christ? Not a chance. If Jesus Christ is going to honor people he's going to honor people who certainly are not as good as he is, then it's not unreasonable for him to ask us to give honor to people that we don't consider to be as good as we are. Okay? Hope you got that. So, if the question was asked, as an adult Christian, do I have to obey my parents who are not Christians? Well, of course not. But as Christians whose parents are not Christians, or maybe not as Christian as you think yourself to be, honor is called for by God, whether they're deserving of it or not, because it's what God would have us to do. Now, think about something for just a minute, and then we'll pray. And we would have sang a closing hymn. Maybe we will. Maybe some of you will. We'll see. But think about this for a minute. In the Ten Commandments, killing is mentioned. Adultery is mentioned. Stealing is mentioned. Bearing false witness is mentioned. And do you know what the fifth was? Honor thy father and thy mother. You know, the one we think is not so important, honoring our father and mother. But did you know that if that one was obeyed, the other four would also be obeyed? If you honored all men, you wouldn't kill any men. If you were giving honor to your neighbor, you wouldn't take his wife. If you were giving honor to other Christians, you wouldn't ever lie about them. See, our mind and God's mind, they're not the same. We say, well, honor your father and mother. That sure doesn't belong there. No, if that one was kept, the other four, they would fall right in line. Turns out it's more important than you thought it was. Do you want to see long life? Honor your father and mother. That stops murder. You want to see good days? Honor your father and mother. That stops adultery, stops stealing. You know, whoever wrote this book, I think you ought to just trust him. Amen. Because he always gets it right. He always gets it right. If he said the key to good days is honoring your father and mother, it'll work. It'll work. And if I said, I sure wish my dad had done a lot of things differently and a lot of things better, you know what I could do? I could give my son an open mic, give him equal time, and he could say the very same thing about me. That's right. You say, well, I'm not going to be like my dad. I'm going to raise my son different. Well, just wait and see if he doesn't think you did it any better than your dad did. It's not about grading your parents and giving them a B or a C or a D or an A. Just give them an A. For the Lord's sake, just give them an A. Say, boy, my dad, he did the best he could. Or if you don't believe that, say, my dad might not have done the best that he could, but you know what? I'm not going to talk bad about him because I love the Lord. I'm going to do it for Jesus. Oh, listen, if do you want to stay down in the dumps? Just come to church and find fault with everybody. Do you want to end up with a Bible having no effect on you? Just find fault with everything the preacher says. Every time he preaches, find fault with him. I'm telling you, you won't enjoy life. You won't enjoy good days if you have a critical spirit and you're constantly looking down on people. So just take a low place. Give honor to people. Give honor to people, and you'll find out life gets a whole lot better. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for showing us the importance of something that we might have not thought of as so important before. I pray, Lord, that you have impressed that upon all my brothers and sisters' hearts, and that they will live a life that shows that they honor you by obeying this command of honoring their mother and father. I just thank you, Lord, that your Bible is so perfect all the way through, no contradictions anywhere, and it just makes it so easy to teach your word. And we pray, Lord, that you continue to speak to our hearts in these matters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.